I will inherit the world, and I'll die in the world.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Defender 7 Medical Broadcast with your host, our Colonel, Ms. Kimberly Purvis. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in. Even if it's just to say hello. And that number is area code 914-205-5773. You can shy to talk on the phone. We're also live in our chat room right here on Blog Talk Radio. So either way, hop in, participate, join in on the conversation. You're always welcome. Be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders, that join button. Just note, we expect all of our members and future members to participate in all that we do here in the Defender 7. We're more than just a group. We consider each other one big extended family. And we treat each other as such. Check out our and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on MeWe. Click on organization, scroll down, Defender 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Yes, that's right, folks. We are not a militia. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel, Miss Kimberly Purvis. Good evening.
Howdy, howdy. You there?
How you doing?
Okay. Wow, it's awful muffled.
I got my earbuds in. If they start from a problem, I'll just disconnect from them.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know where the temp is, where everybody's at. I just want to say, don't be a dumbass. I know we've gone over this like 100 times. Probably go over it 100 more. Make sure you drink plenty of water. And try and stay out of the hottest part of the day and not, you know what I'm saying, not overdo any stressful physical activity. Now, here's the thing. I got a lawnmower, brand new toy, and I got it set up. And around 12 o'clock, I started cutting my yard. But I got almost an acre of yard, and it's in three huge separate pieces. Well, the front yard don't count, so I only cut the grass that was fenced in, the bigger part of the yard, which, by the way, on my pedometer was about 2 miles of walking my yard. And so, you know what I'm saying, like, I think I walked every inch of the grass. So anywho, I did it at 12 o'clock, and that's not the hottest part of the day, you know. And in Kansas, it's very windy, you know, all the time, which disguises the heat, you know. and I got into some bad heat exhaustion today and felt like crapola. And it took me about an hour and a half to cut the grass. Part of the problem was it was really thick in places, you know, because I haven't cut my grass since I've lived here, since last November. But, yeah, I mean, it just took a lot out of me. And the weird thing is, a lot of the yard was in the shade. I wasn't even in direct sunlight for probably but maybe 45 minutes. And I just sat down. I got one of those cool hammock chairs, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done. And I had to come inside, and I literally just laid down on my couch and just took a nap because I felt like crap. Even the dogs went to sleep. All three dogs. I had to bring my outside dog inside and put her in the kitchen because it was just too hot outside for her today. But, yeah, lesson learned. You don't have to be in the hottest part of the day to get heat exhaustion. So, the only thing I've had to eat today is I ate a bowl of tomato soup and a handful of, I go to this restaurant, Medi's. It's Mediterranean food, and I got hummus and the chicken, and I could barely eat it. So, yeah, just make sure you guys stay well hydrated in the heat, you know, because you don't want to have a heat stroke. Heat exhaustion is bad enough. And that leads right up into heat stroke. So, and for those who had a heat stroke before, I'm sure you probably already know this, you're more prominent to have another one. And I don't know about you guys who's had one, but for myself, I can't stand anything above 75 degrees. It's really just too damn hot for me. So, and anything under 50 is too damn cold. So my internal thermometer, it just said, fuck you, I don't want to work. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I even took a shower, which I felt better. Now, if you're overheated, don't take a cold shower. Just take a room, you know, lukewarm, kind of warm temperature, because you don't want to you don't want to shock your system and taking too hot. I mean, too cold of a shower. So, and then just, you know, stay inside and relax or stay in the shade. So, aside from all of that BS, I got good news. Yay. So my stress test that I had on my heart came back normal. I know you guys are really concerned, and I know. the coolest thing, my echo shows, which I already knew this, three of my heart valves, the mitral valve and the tricuspid valve. Well, the weirdest thing is when I had that done like 7 years ago, it showed I had a mild regurg, which the blood would backflow through those two valves. And they said it's not concerning because it's only mild, you know. They don't worry about it until it hits moderate or severe. Well, the cool thing is, when I had my echo 2 weeks ago, it showed it was only trace amounts now. So through lots of prayer and lots of heart-healthy vitamins and eating better, hey, my heart valve actually started working better. They're only concerned with the aortic valve, and that's it's narrow, so, and that's the important one. So, but yeah, so my heart's ticking pretty good. I do take, and it is a big concern for me because of family history, you know, and you know,
I thought they said you had no heart.
I know I have no. I know I like to pretend I got one every now and then. my residents seem to think I've got one. If my residents don't fucking kill me first, or my staff, I swear to God. Like, remember what I told you yesterday? All my staff is under 30, except for one. She's actually 2 years older than me, and she's as worthless as they come to, but that's beside the point. She's just a hateful bitch. But, yeah, for the most part, everyone's under 30. Oh, my God. These fuckers call into work. They're supposed to be to work at 6. They call in at 5:55. Really? 5:55. You're going to call in at 5:55. Didn't you just call in, like, the other day? You know, and it's, like, repetitive. They don't want to work. I've never seen such a lazy generation in my life. Ever.
Right.
It's disgusting. And then they bitch about what they have to do at work. Oh, my God, I got to take vital signs. Yeah. You give out 3 blood pressure pills to the same person. And the way we have it set up and with our PA, she's like, look, if they're on lisinopril, okay, lisinopril is like beginner's blood pressure medication, in all honesty. And they usually start you at the bottom, 5 milligrams, right? So if you're on 5 milligrams of lisinopril, you know, we're really not all that, we're concerned, but like, you know what I'm saying? So I tell them, take their blood pressure once a week for those, okay? And if they're on multiple, you take it every day. And then if you're not on any blood pressure meds, you take it, they're vital, once a month. Unless something happens, like if they start having chest pain, they don't feel good, you know what I'm saying? And then you take the vitals and give them to me, and I can say, okay, send them on the Uber Boober bus, and we get to listen to the patronizing paramedics come out who think they're doctors. We love you, though. We love you, paramedics. Don't get me wrong. You guys are a little, I don't know. Anywho. but yeah, they complain. Oh, I got to wait. You got to wait 2 people. 2 a day. We have 107 residents. And you get weighed once a month, unless you're congestive heart failure, then you're weighed once a week. Or pretty much like 3 times a week. But, yeah, I've never seen such lazy staff, swear to God. I don't think we've ever gone a day where all 4 of our aides, our med aides, showed up for work. Per staff. All right, per shift. We have 4, I mean, 2 upstairs, 2 downstairs, right? So it's 8 med aides a day. I swear to God, we'd be lucky if 2 show up. Per shift. So now I've got them all scared shitless. Well, for the most part. You know what I told them? I'm going to fucking hire people, have you train them, and then you're going to get fired. That's what I'm doing. And some of them are, like, scared to death. And it's like, you know, but that's how heartless I am. I will do it. I've written up 10 people in a day. Why? Because they don't want to work.
Yeah.
Not too much to ask. You know, when you're caring for people, you got to do your job. You know what I'm saying? So, but anywho, what's up with you lately?
Who, me?
No, the dog next door. You're the only other person on.
Not much. Just been chilling.
Speaking of chilling, I bought a swimming pool today.
There you go.
Well, sitting on. Well, no, I bought, you know, one of the above grounds, And did you know they make swimming pools for dogs?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It's a foldable one, and it's got foam, and then it's got the whatever the pool's made out of. But you know what I'm saying? It's like it's sewed up in the little plank, and so you could fold it up and take it with you. Well, I got the I don't know. It's like 2 foot wide. It's like a foot deep. But you could actually sit in it with your dog if you wanted to, or your kid, or whatever. And $20 at online at Walmart. You can't buy them in the store. They can only ship it to you. And my Great Pyrenees, she was awful hot today. That's why I had to bring her inside. She's too big for inside the house all day. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no. No. I let her in the house at night for like an hour or two because she gets her attention time. And I'm like, nope, you're going outside. You're too damn big. Because she just wants to lay on top of you. And I'm like, no. So but she prefers being outside for the most part. But, yeah, I got it for it. I'm going to put it under the where the water outside water faucet is so I can just keep filling it. And I'm just going to keep – so she wants to drink the water, she can drink it. But
right.
the people we got got her from said their Pyrenees walks through their little koi pond, plays with the fish, you know, and that's how she cools off. So I figured I would get her one. And then I'm just sitting there after I ordered her pool. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, it's already hot. It's 85 degrees outside. Fuck it. I'm buying a pool. So I got one of those 15 foot by 10 foot. I think it's like 4.5-5 foot deep. So I got to decide the best place to put it. So, I got a patio, but then I got grass. So what's the best place to put it? On the brick or on the grass?
I would say on the brick.
And it's got a metal frame. And it's a different type. It's like, it's thick canvas. I don't know what the hell it's made out of, but it's not like your normal ones. It's got a metal frame that's, you know, and I was thinking, I didn't know not really knowing where to put it. Because I want to put a pagoda up, and if I put it on the brick, it's going to go under the pagoda. So that's what I got to think about.
Right.
But yeah, that's how I'm going to spend my summer. This year, I'm like, screw this shit. I've been here 2 summers, and I don't want to have to go to the Y to go swimming with all those people because it's too people-y at the Y. And if I go to the lake, I got to drive 45 minutes, but I can only do it on the weekend. So if it's hot at night when I get home, I'm going to go in the – I mean, it's not a huge pool. And I'll probably use it more for therapy on my shoulders and my knees, you know. Hopefully I'll be having knee surgery. I'll be having my knee surgery soon, hopefully. I go Tuesday to talk to the surgeon again and when he's going to scope it. Oh, I think I finished tearing the whole meniscus now.
Ow.
Yeah, there's no pain. I would get that sharp stabbing pain. And that's how you know, that's why they say if you completely tear something, it's not going to hurt anymore because you tore it completely, gone. So now my knee is filled up with fluid, and that hurts. And that's what's pushing on the other ligaments, the ACL and the MCL, you know, all of that crap. And so, yeah, and that's why it hurts more. So now I got the arthritis pain you know, bone on bone, and that's what I feel right now. I already had both problems, so I don't know what he's going to do for that, but we'll see. So, anywho, when I went to an estate sale, and if you've never been to one, oh, those are so freaking cool. Go to one. Because it's selling everything. All because grandma or grandpa died. And they want to sell everything out of the house. So I went to one last week. Let me tell you some cool shit. You don't go the first day. You don't go the second day. You go, like, the last day because they're like, okay, all this shit's got to go. And she's like, $3 a bag for a Walmart bag. You know, the regular one, not the giant ones, but the regular Walmart bag. She's like, whatever you can fit in the bag, $3. And I'm like, cool shit. And all the books were a quarter. So the reason why I say this is really cool, because I got a bunch. I spent $64, but I got two antique lamps that are Austrian crystal. they look brand new, $5 a piece. And I got a 36-inch TV for $25, and a bunch of, all kinds of crap. But, you know, the reason I was so excited is because I got a book for a quarter, right? Remember I told you about all of those homesteading books, the herbal medicine, herbal, all of those? Well, there was one particular book that it just disappeared like a fart in the wind. Well, it's called Home Remedies, the doctor's book of home remedies. Holy shit, they had it there. And I'm like, I'm buying it. So I've got another one for a quarter. So it's the coolest damn book. And but it's got everything in it, which is really cool. Thousands of tips and techniques anyone can use to heal everyday health problems. They also have you go online and get any of these books. Like I said, the herbal one, and it's got every herb. And not just typical herbs, dandelion, milk thistle. Believe it or not, milk thistle is a weed. But it's edible, and it treats a lot of things. Dandelion, I forgot what dandelion does. And people pay Roundup, makes a poison to kill dandelions. Some people's yards are full of them, which you can eat the whole plant. Well, you have to prepare it a certain way, you know, before you go and eat it. And remember back in the day, I don't know if you did this, Bobby, that little song, it's a little rhyme. Mama had a baby and its head popped off.
Yeah, I remember that.
You take the dandelion and you hold it by the stem and you put your thumb underneath the yellow cap, you know, the flower, and you pop it off.
Yeah.
Now, why the flippin' hell would anybody, you know, nursery rhymes are, they're horrible. They're, like, demonic at best. But why would anybody come up with a rhyme, mama had a baby and its head popped off? I mean, I was just talking about that whenever I saw that. And to think of all the dandelions over the years that I've mowed down, poisoned, had no idea it was good for you. So, anywho, this book is alphabetical, so it's really in no particular order. So it's all alphabetized. So I thought we could go through it and just hit the high points of most of the some of the stuff in here. But allergies. If you've got allergies, I know I do. They suck. Now, if you're in the military or were, pretty much, you know, later in life, you're allergic to freaking everything because of all the shit they freaking shove in your body. Well, I didn't have this many damn allergies until I got out of the military. Most people have a not most people, you have your food allergies, your drug allergies, and your environmental allergies, like pollen. Some people, like, I'm allergic to cedar and spruce trees. Nothing horrific, like touching the evergreen, you know, the limbs and the leaves. Well, not leaves, but you know what I'm talking about. I get a rash, and it's really itchy. So that's pretty much it for me. But there are people that's allergic to the grass. Some are allergic to all trees. You got plants. What else for environmental? Dust. Well, dust is environmental. That's inside. What else are people allergic to? Bees, wasps, hornets, ants. What else? You think of? Bobby?
Huh?
See, you're not listening. Aside from, like, your pollen, trees, grass, bees, ants, hornets, wasps, what are some good environmental allergies? Not good, but...
Mold. Dust.
Would dust be environmental, though? Or is that more like household?
Household, I would say.
But yeah, and then your food allergies,
know,
which.
And then I know that I know a lot of people. My mom was allergic to roses.
Roses?
Yeah, fresh roses in the garden.
Oh wow. That sucks.
So yeah, there's plants out there that can make you allergic, just like you said about the trees.
Yeah, I mean it's some people are allergic, I mean, just to touch it.
Right.
You know. And your food allergies. And with food allergies, a lot of it is the dye, really. You know, like red dye number 40 and things like that. MSG.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't have MSG. Now, with me, I can't have, I'm allergic to gluten. What's funny is, oh, no, I'm not on call. Do not call me. Oh, Jesus. Hold on a second. Oh, crap. Hold on a second. I'm just going to text her. No, I'm just going to text her. Hold on. Oh, crap. Hold on. Hold on a second. No, my... Oh, okay. My phone's about to die. That's fine with me. Hold on a second. Let me... I gotta take this call. I hate it. Hold on. Hold on.
So if you're new, just tuning in to us, be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defender 7. Check out our website, all lowercase letters, www.defender7.com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in time of need. Be sure to check out our and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're looking to build a sector throughout all 50 states. If you're interested in becoming an officer, no experience necessary. That goes for veterans and civilians. Reach out to myself or one of my officers. We'll help you the rest of the way.
Okay, sorry about that. The other nurse, she did a drive-by, and she got there around 7. And like I said, one med aid called in 20, an hour before his shift started. And then another one showed up an hour and a half late and thought she was going to sneak in the building and not get caught. Like I said, getting your asses written up. I don't care. I'm telling you, the heartless me is going to come out. I don't give a shit. So, anywho, so with allergies, those are, you know, pretty much sums it up. And then, of course, your drug allergies are going to be completely different because those are different. But the biggest way to avoid any reaction, don't take them. And I love, and there is differences in types of allergic reactions. Anaphylaxis is your biggest one. That's one where it says, hey, stupid, don't do that anymore. Like, don't take that drug, don't eat that food, don't touch that plant, treat, whatever. Those are the ones, you know, your face swells, you can't breathe, your tongue swells. Those are true, what we call true anaphylaxis allergies. But then there's the other type, and it's a reaction. A rash, the hives, you know, things like that, you know. If it's an ingested thing, you get diarrhea, abdominal cramping, stuff like that. Sometimes people get nauseous and vomit. A lot of people that are allergic to pain meds, their biggest reaction is the vomiting. And that's a pretty hefty allergy to me. I mean, I'm like, yeah, that's one that you want to avoid. A little vomiting and diarrhea is not going to kill you, but a lot will. So I actually had one of my residents said he's allergic to tetracycline. And at the wound clinic, they prescribed him a cyclin, one of those in the same family, and it comes. And it's a big red flag, and they're like, "Well, he's allergic to this. He shouldn't even get this." So I asked them, "And do you know what his allergy reaction and I've never heard of this shit. Far be it for me to say anything. Hemorrhoids. He got hemorrhoids from the two times that he was given tetracycline. And I just snickered. It, you know, I don't want to be mean or an ass or anything. And I'm like, are you sure it was that? He's like, well, it's all I had. I didn't have them before. So far be it for me to judge on an allergy. So that's why we ask, because we need to know, is it a reaction or a true allergy? So that's why there's the difference. So in this book, it's pretty cool. There's 15 ways to alleviate symptoms of allergies. And so depending on what exactly it is. Hold on a second. I got it. My body is – my knee is cramping up. I got to sit up here real quick. So this is pretty cool, and I'm just flicking through this. You can actually allergy-proof your house or allergen-proof your house. One of the biggest things that a lot of people use in their air conditioner is those HEPA filters. You know, the ones that cost like $30 for one air conditioner filter?
Yeah.
Make sure you change those at least once a month. If you live in a dust bowl like Arizona, Texas, you know, where it's really dusty, you're going to want to change those filters more frequently. If you don't have a lot of grass in your yard and you have a lot of dirt and sand and stuff, yeah, you're going to want to change it, especially if the condenser is in a pile of dirt. Install an air cleaner. They have different types of air cleaners. You know, they're bigger than a humidifier, and they just suck all the air in. And you should see those the little racks in it. They're really nasty, and you just wash them when they get dirty. So buy a dehumidifier. Keeping the air clean will help relieve symptoms from pollens, molds, and pet dander. Keeping it dry will help put a stop to dust mite problems. I don't know. Here's the thing. I use humidifiers. I don't use dehumidifiers because my sinuses get so dry, I can't breathe. And I don't know if you've ever had an issue with dry sinuses. It's an annoyance. You always have to blow your nose and all that crap. So we buy humidifiers. Huh?
I said, oh, yeah.
I use ocean spray, salt water mist, and I'll just use it frequently throughout the day. Gently blow my nose to get the excess, you know, saline out. Because the more you blow your nose, you're going to irritate it, and you're going to make your nose all swollen, and you can't be able to breathe anyway. So, but what I do, and this is the newest thing I've just started doing. So in my humidifier, I keep it in the living room, and then I got another one, but it sprung a leak, so I might have to get another one. I actually use essential oils, and I never thought in my wildest age years would ever buy essential oils, right? But here's the cool thing. You put like a bunch of drops of the essential oil in your humidifier, and actually it's like having an air freshener, one, when it humidifies your air. And especially if you got a cold or whatever, they actually have the different oils. I mean, they've got so many different oils. But they have what's the one? They got lavender if you can't sleep. And it puts the lavender smell in the air, and it helps you sleep. It's got menthol. They got menthol ones, or what they call peppermint. And things like that. And so those help also. So it says wipe down any humid area with fungicide. Yeah, whatever. But I didn't realize it called. I use Clora or bleach. It don't matter. We don't care, dog. Shut up. I swear a flea must have farted and he heard it. You know, a lot of people, if you have bugs, if you have roaches, believe it or not, and you may not have a whole lot, or you could be infested, which would suck, but one way to definitely, and a lot of people are allergic to roach excrement. My dad was allergic to them, and he had COPD. It's the only reason why I know this. So what he would do is, you know those little pump sprayers that they use for everything, for your yard and whatever? He would he would make a bleach solution and put it in the sprayer and spray his whole house, walls, everything. One, it will kill all the – it would kill everything. And bleach, by the way, kills roaches. I learned this from the Terminex guy. That's why I spray my countertops, my stove, everything with bleach. And when the roaches walk on it, they take it back and it kills them all. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But cleaning and you could don't make it – here's the thing. Don't make it too strong. You know, where your eyes are burning, that's a little too strong. Enough where you could really, you know, get a good smell of it. You could smell it, it's clean. I also wash my towels and my sheets and blankets with bleach and my detergent. It's just, I just personally know it makes everything clean. But you could just take a towel and spray it and wipe everything down and, you know, that should be. But here's the thing, some people are allergic to bleach, the fumes. Not, you know, I imagine they will break out in blisters if they touch it, you know, if they get too much on their hands or whatever. But a lot of people can't stand the smell of bleach, and they're actually allergic to it. Some people have actually cells. We'll do them in. This says isolate your pets. No. I'm not doing that. Why have a pet if you're going to isolate it? A lot of people are allergic to pet dander. Long-haired cats, long-haired dogs. Bathe your pet frequently, you know, to make sure it's clean and stuff like that. When you're doing any type of housework or out in the yard, wear a mask. This is the only time I'm going to tell you to wear a mask, because you know what? You know me, I cannot stand wearing these stupid masks, and people are still wearing them 3 damn years later. It's over, and I'm over it. But unless you're sick, by all means, wear it if you're sick, or better yet, stay home. But you know, like painting, dusting, vacuuming, cutting grass, if you have a really bad, because when you cut grass, the shit, the dust, and the grass flies everywhere. So, yeah, wear a mask if you have really bad allergies, and it'll help. Or hire someone to clean your house. Believe it or not, if you're allergic to the dust, hire someone to clean it. Here's another one that we do a lot in assisted living and nursing facilities. Seal your bedding in plastic. Dust mites and things like that. They got mattress covers. Put those on, and it will kill the dust mites and stuff. Keep all of your if you're not using blankets, put them in, you know, those sealable, what the hell, you know what I'm talking about, the one that you can you've pretty much vacuum seal it and it shrinks it down. Yeah, do that to all your big bulky stuff, pillows, things you're not using. you know, if you want to change them out, well, then, yeah, you just take that one out and you put another one in. So, yeah, steal your bedding and it saves it from the dust mites and whatnot. Now, this personally I ain't doing. I ain't doing this one. Throw out your carpet. If you have seriously bad allergies, they recommend having linoleum, hardwood floors, whatever, and not having carpet. Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I ain't doing that shit again. I'd rather have carpet. So, but I vacuum my carpet, like, I try to do it at least once a week, but sometimes I have to do it two or three times because I got retarded dogs. I swear to God, dogs are worse than children. And I get the side eye from my son's dog. He's giving me the death look. And he just turns away when I look at him because he knows I'm talking about him. Yeah, he's moving out in June. That means you, dog. He's a freaking pain in the ass. He's the one that barks all the time. But it says buy throw rugs. Yeah, whatever. If you, here's the thing with throw rugs. Depending on the type of throw rug, can become a safety hazard. Especially if you have anyone that has a walker or a cane, or if they're unsteady. Hell, it can happen to anybody like myself because of my knee, and it's hard for, I have to limp all the time. So I have to watch out for dangers like dog toys and, you know, shit like that. But so be careful when you buy throw rugs. They do have those grippers that you can put on the back of them. And not to mention, you can also wash, well, depending on how big your area rug is or throw rugs, you can wash them. And the one thing that I do, and I know, God, I know I'm showing my age, but, you know, did your grandma have plastic couch covers to put on your couch?
Yeah.
To protect it? I don't do that. I actually use sheet. I'll just take a sheet and throw over the couch or a blanket, and I'll cover it, and I'll cover the couch. One, because I could actually wash it, just take it off once a week and wash them because of dog hair. That's what I do to protect the couch. You know, so it's hard to wash your couch unless you do the spray bottle and then you take a washcloth and just wipe it down and you could get your, the dust mites. And some vacuums have an attachment to, with a little brush, and you can do that. Buy synthetic pillows. Dust mites like, synthetic or, so the reason why, dust mites still like synthetic, but you know what? You can wash those. You can't wash goose down and stuff like that. You can't wash feather pillows because that would ruin them. Wash mattress pads often and always use hot water. I always use hot water for sheets, towels, and blankets. Always. So, let's see. Hold on a second. So it says make at least one room in your house a sanctuary for yourself. If you can't afford central air and don't want to rip the wall-to-wall carpet out of every single room in your house, there's still hope. Make just one room a sanctuary. Most people spend the largest part of their time in a home in the bedroom. Not me. I hate my bedroom. One, because I haven't put it all together yet. So all my time is in my living room. So that's what I would do, is make my living room my sanctuary. But eventually, once Pat moves out, I actually have a den. And I'm going to move the living room set that's in my living room into a den and buy a new living room set because my dogs, you know, they're just assholes the way they are. And I'm going to actually make my den my reading room. So that will be my little, you know, the big. And the other thing is sun kills a lot of germs too. Children have stuffed animals. One thing you can always do, especially if they're sick, you could spray them with Lysol. You could do one of two things. You could throw them in the dryer on a high heat, or go sit them outside. If you have laundry lines, you could take a clothespin, hang them on the line. You know, my mom would lay all, when she had a flea market, she would, when she got toys, stuffed animals, she would throw them in the dryer, and then she would sit them outside in the sun. And the sun actually kills a lot of germs. Just leave it out there for a couple hours, and, you know, Bob's your uncle, and you're done. So the next alphabetically is angina. And there are different forms of angina, by the way. I don't know if people knew that or not. I have Prince Metal's angina, and hard to detect. And unfortunately, the only way to know that you're having an angina attack with Prince Metal angina is to be hooked up to an EKG at the time it's happening. You don't have a portable EKG, you'll never know. It makes you feel like you're having a heart attack. So, which, by the way, if those of you who suffer from angina and high blood pressure, an absolute godsend for a medication is isosorbide mononitrate. It's 24 hours of nitro in a pill form. And that's what I take. And thank God. I've been on it for three years and haven't had to use my actual nitro pills. So cool. So there's 17 things to help stop your angina. Clean the air. I don't smoke, so this is not an issue for me. But if you smoke, stop smoking if you can. You know, I'm always going to tell, and I tell this to my residents, stop smoking, stop drinking, and they look at me like I'm retarded. I'm like, yeah, I have to do my job, because you could never say I never told you. If you do smoke, turn a fan on to help, you know, you could open a window, like let the smoke. My dad used to do that when he would smoke and have a fan blowing out to suck the cigarette smoke out of the house. Also, by the way, a lot of people are allergic to cigarette smoke, and especially if you have asthma. So smoking causes increased levels of carbon monoxide, which displaces oxygen. And since angina is an artery clogging, heart crying out for oxygen, smoking is clearly the worst thing you could do, because it sucks all the oxygen, and that's why you end up with more angina attacks. Think less is best when eating. This is not only is this good for stopping angina pain, but it's also good for people who have stomach problems. Anybody knows if you your eyes get big, your eyes are bigger than your stomach, and you're like, oh my God, I could eat a whole pizza, and you, you know, you're like two pieces in, you're like, oh my God, I'm done. So what they're talking about, less is best. Now they're talking less salt, less fat, less calories. Just one overly fatty, overly salty meal can cause an angina attack, because too much fat, too much salt will raise your blood pressure. And that's why, you know, angina attacks feel like you're having a heart attack. And like with mine, it affects my whole chest wall. And it's just the squeezing. It's just a contraction of the muscle, of the chest muscles. And I actually hurt. I can hurt the next day. So that's why, you know, you have to watch out. So what they're saying is try not to eat any more than 6 ounces of meat, seafood, or poultry at a time. Okay? Eat only meat that's lean and trimmed of all fat. And you know what? I'm not going to say trimmed of all fat because everybody knows, I know, you know, the fat in meat, in some meat, helps the flavor, yes. So, you know, be reasonable. Know what your body can take or can't take. So just do that. Ground beef should be labeled having no more than 15% fat. True. More than 15% fat, honestly, makes me sick to my stomach. I don't know about you. Also, the more fat that's in it, when you make, you know, if you notice when you make those hamburgers, you got to make them the size of your dinner plate because by the time they shrink up, they're a normal yeah. size hamburger. Yeah, so the higher yep. The higher. What?
No, I said, yup.
Yeah, that sucks. You're like, wow, what the hell? And now you got charcoal briquettes. And I don't mean charcoal briquettes because you burnt it. I mean, that's how small they are. So I make mine the size of the palm of my hand and make them a little thick. But I, like I said, but I try to buy 82% lean or leaner or not at all. I don't eat a whole lot of, we don't eat a whole lot of beef. We eat more chicken and fish than anything. But there are better fish there is fish that's better for you than others. So tuna, by the way, is the least nutritious of all of them. Actually, no, let me scratch that. Tilapia is the least nutritious. But you know what? It still tastes good. It's not fatty. There's just no nutritional value to it. But it's, you know what I'm saying? It's there's no real, like, salmon or stuff like that. So, anyway. And I hate to say this, remove the skin from chicken. There's more fat, of course, there's more fat in it. There's more fat in dark meat than there is white meat. I know. I eat fried chicken once a month. Once a month, I eat fried chicken because they make it at work. And when the residents eat lunch, we eat whatever they eat, well, for the most part. But when the one of the guys, when he cooks, it's like the best damn friggin' fried chicken there is, and I get a chicken breast. And yes, I will eat the damn fat, okay? But here's the thing. One large chicken breast has 4 grams of fat. I don't eat dark meat. But chicken wings, I mean, there's no whole lot of meat to them anyway, so. But yeah, I don't really eat chicken legs or thighs because they're too fatty. I just, you know, I don't need the extra hurt. So try not to, you know, fry foods if you can. Limit your intake of all oils. Eliminate cholesterol-rich organ meats like liver. Well, guess what? Tough shit. I don't eat beef liver or calf. I don't eat it all that often, but you know, apparently it causes problems. Eat only non-fat or 1% milk fat products. Yeah, well, I like some foods with flavor, so I'll actually do the 2%. that extra 1% is the difference between eating paper and eating food because it sucks. Increase your daily intake of fresh fruits and vegetables and more grain. If you can, exercise helps angina. A lot of angina patients like to sell themselves on the notion that exercise is out of the question because it exerts the heart. And since the exertion brings on angina, exercise should be avoided. But it's one of those things that, no, it's actually good. So, but they're not talking, you know, do a rigorous exercise, you know, just whatever your body can tolerate. Remember, before you start exercising or go on a diet, always call your doctor. Learn to relax. Yeah, right. That's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah. So the only way I can relax is go fishing for the gun range. Yard work, stuff like that, you know. But you got to know when to do it. Do it in moderation. Okay, now this one, it says take an aspirin a day. So they have what's called unstable angina. You will probably have a cardiologist, and they will tell you to take an aspirin a day. Don't listen to me. Talk to your doctor first. I'm not allowed to take aspirin anymore because of my stomach. So if you have GERD, any stomach issues, chronic gastritis, you can't take aspirin. So, you know, pick your battle. I've never heard of this. Oh, okay, put your body on tilt at night. So if you experience angina attacks at night, tilting the head of your bed up 3 or 4 inches can reduce the number of attacks. So, but it also helps if you have stomach problems, stomach acid coming up. Also breathing. If you have breathing problems like COPD and stuff, you shouldn't lay flat. Put your foot down. So if you get angina attacks at night, suggest an alternative to reaching for the nitro. Simply sit on the edge of the bed with your feet on the floor. Huh. I don't know about that one, but hey. So what they're saying is put your feet on the floor. Dangle your legs on the side of the bed and let your feet touch the floor. So apparently that's supposed to be the same effect as taking a nitro. But guess what? If you're still having the angina pain, take your nitro. So, yeah. Arthritis. I don't know about you, but life wouldn't be life without arthritis. So, of course, one of the 22 remedies, the very first one is lose weight. Well, of course. The more weight you have, if you have arthritis in your knees, your ankles, your hips, you know, whatever, of course, the more weight you have, it's going to put more stress on those joints. So, yeah, lose some weight. I mean, that's one thing that helps. One thing that helps with arthritis is gently stretch for strength and mobility. If you're going to go walk, move, work, whatever, stretch. Find some stretching exercises you can get from your doctor or a physical therapist or whoever to give you. And basically that's one way of doing things is stretching. Find relief through less stress, like I said. Ha, 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 ha. If you can, avoid stress. Hot tubs. That's one thing you could do to de-stress. Sit in a hot tub. Take a hot shower. You know, put it on your back, your neck, you know, and it will help relieve the stress. So pace yourself. I don't know about you, but like I have a good 15 minutes of housework before my back says sit down. Or sometimes I can push through the pain, and if you slow down and pace yourself, you can last longer at whatever. So, let's see. Almost 90% of patients suffer from some type of morning stiffness. Well, no shit, because you don't move at night when you're sleeping. So, stretch when you get up in the morning. I usually stretch in bed, my back, my arms, my legs, just to get the blood flowing more to the joints. And then furniture walks through the house until your body says, okay, I can walk up right now. Float your pain away, which they have, I guess they're talking about special design flotation tanks. Yeah, whatever. Go in a swimming pool. The buoyancy, it's better on your joints. You know, that's why you'll see a lot of elderly people doing all those cool exercises in the pool. It's less on their joints, and they could do more. Mix oil and water. Huh. So this person does heat and eucalyptus ointment on her hands. So they have a lot of those different things, the mentholatums, the Bengay. Some of them work, some of them don't. I love the smell, but I love the menthol smell and the eucalyptus, but some of them do work better than others. Let's see, the water size, we went over that. Use ice. Now, whenever you first get, you know, when they tell you when you first get hurt, they want to use ice and then heat. A lot of doctors prefer the ice on your joints. And, yeah, it does work. So you use ice to prevent pain. Heat to reduce the pain. Okay, that's what. Okay, so yeah, if you're using a heating pad, make sure it's got the cover on it. Make sure the cord's not frayed, you know, broken. And a lot of the newer heating pads have timers on them to automatically shut off. They have the different temperature settings so you don't get too hot. So know your body and never put it directly on your skin. Same thing with the ice. Never put it directly on your skin. Yeah, I have a hard time with this one, personally speaking. Don't baby your joints. Right now, my knee hurts so damn bad because it is bone on bone for the most part. And it hurts when I bend it or straighten it or walk on it. Well, you have to use it because guess what's going to happen if you don't use that joint? So lock up, it's going to get so stiff, and that's how you get contractures. So gently just move them. You know, don't overdo it. And what I do, especially when physical therapy will tell you, get to right where it hurts and stop, right? Then the next time, get to that point and go a little bit farther. So you're building up that tolerance to the movement. The one thing I love, I have two different shower heads. One, I got that big, huge waterfall that's got 400,000 settings on it. And then I got that, the one that, you know what I'm talking about, on a hose? The wand, whatever the hell you want to call it. I got two of them, one on the side and one on the so I got one where your shower head normally goes. So about that big giant square one, right? And then it has the wand on the side. Well, I actually take that off the wall and I will use that on my knee. You pick the, like I said, you're going to choose the setting of heat that's not going to burn you because you can scald yourself. when I had my shoulder surgery, I used it on my shoulder. Well, now that I got my knee problem, now I use it on my knee. Sometimes I'll use it on my back, whatever. So, yeah, you can actually do that. And that's why hot tubs are really good. The jet that's in there. Now, unfortunately, if you have neck pain, you'd have to be under the water to get the little jet to work. So, yeah, you don't want to do that. Be smart. So, get off addictive pills, drugs. And they're not talking about, illegal drugs. They're talking sleeping meds, tranquilizers, narcotic painkillers, because they're good for a while. And here's the problem. One, your body will get used to them, and that's why you'll notice, oh, I need something stronger. So you go stronger. And then you're on those for a while. And you got to go something stronger, then something stronger. And you just keep going until you're in a shitstorm. So try to do the bare minimum of what you need for those. Or do it for short periods of time. You see, shut up. I'll take you outside in a minute. So, yeah, watch out for all of those. I got off my sleeping meds because, honestly, I took trazodone. And get this shit, I was taking 150 milligrams. It would knock me out. It was the only thing, but I felt drug out in the morning. I got residents who are on 200, 300 milligrams of trazodone. Jesus, and these people are still walking. So, but yeah, if you can get off those meds and do it herbally or whatever, it is a better way of doing it. Because honestly, you're just masking the pain with a Band-Aid. You got to get to the root cause of the problem to treat it instead of just covering it up with a pain med. So, and yes, there are certain medications that work differently for different things. Let's see. The fish oil. People use fish oil for the arthritis. All of those omega-3s, which are good for your heart, by the way. But, I'm trying to look here with this. Cod liver oil. Let me tell you something. Have you ever taken the omega-3 fish oil pills? One, they're like a horse tranquilizer. They're ginormous. But you know the worst thing about taking omega-3 fish oil? Have you ever taken it, Bobby?
Fish oil? No.
Yeah, omega-3 fish oil. There's a little gel. Okay. Well, they're good for your heart. They're good for arthritis. But here's the problem, and this is why I take them with food. Because when they break up and dissolve, you burp fish oil. Yeah, if you're not prepared to do that at any one point in part of your day, makes you want to vomit. So I always take mine with food because it's nasty. Massage. There's massage therapies. You know, go those places, really cool things, the massage chairs, all of that crap. I recommend it. It's amazing. Never ceases to amaze me how far a masseuse can help. A clean one, not a dirty one. Not one with a happy ending. Honestly, me, a happy ending is when I could stand up and my legs feel like noodles because I had, the full body and my legs are like, oh, my God. Because you're releasing all of that built-up crap in your muscles. So that's why it feels – it may hurt there for a minute now. Don't get me wrong. You get those tight muscles. and those massage guns, or if you, you know, go to a good masseuse, and it really just releases all that junk that's in your muscles. Boost your vitamin C intake, and pay attention to what you eat. So if something irritates you, guess what? Don't eat it. Now, here's the thing. I have no gallbladder. Hey, Phil said unmute him.
Don't know.
He said no. He could hear
I
you,
him.
Smart ass.
I texted him too, but he didn't respond. Free beer. I said, I texted him also. I said, unmute me, please. And he didn't respond. He was like drinking beer.
Hey, Bobby's doing what Bobby does best. He's sleeping.
Sleeping?
So how's you doing?
I'm doing good. And like I got on Wednesday, I got on Tuesday, I got on Friday, and every time I got on, it was like there's no show scheduled for the next 24 hours.
I apologize profusely. My week has been shit.
Well,
I got
it's over.
Four admissions. I got four admissions on Wednesday, and I had to take my work home. And I'm like, I'm tired. And Thursday, it just carried over, and that's when my two idiot residents in their brilliant wisdom did what they did. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse the whole week. So I'm like, you know what? The hell with it. I told Bobby, I got home at 6:30. You go show tonight? Nope. I just walked to the door, and I'm like, I just can't do it. I'm too tired. But, no.
Hey, you know what's good about omega-3?
What?
You can get omega-3 from the fish oil that doesn't have the fish oil in it. You know, the fish oil can call it. Yeah, you can get an extracted version of it. Also, I'll go a little into detail. Okay, so what omega-3 means is that it's a molecule that has three fatty acid chains on it. And if you are trying to decrease your cholesterol, the triglycerides, specifically the triglycerides, there is one of those fatty acid chains that will have a profound effect on the triglycerides out of the omega-3. They've actually isolated that, and now they call that Vascepa. So Vascepa is one of the fatty acid chains from omega-3, and it's called eicosanoic acid or something. It starts with the EIC.
One
of those weird words. So, but what I like about omega-3 specifically is that it helps to repair the myelin sheath covering your nerve fibers. Your nerve fibers are covered in an insulator, like an electrical wire, and it's called myelin. And that omega-3 will help repair damage to that myelin. In addition, it provides cardiovascular health because it helps reduce triglycerides. So I heard you talking about it, and yeah, don't get the fish oil.
You can
get an omega-3 that doesn't have the fish oil or the krill oil, either one of those. They even have an omega-3 that's derived from vegetable.
I used to take it, but I would take it with food because, oh my God, I hate burping up the fish oil. And that was I'm done.
Yeah, but there is omega-3, and if you look on the counter on the shelves or whatever, it will say that Not from the fish oil. You're not going to get that fish oil side effect.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But omega-3 and vitamin D3, those are the two things everyone on the planet should be taking, or at least be, you know, sufficient in.
So question, seeing that we've got you on the air. So what is the best thing to help if you have fluid on the knee? To, like, get rid of it? Besides an injection where they pull the fluid off. I'm talking natural.
Well, that's one thing. You can aspirate it. The next thing is you can compress it. You know rice, right? Rest, ice, compress, elevate.
Okay.
You get the fluid off the knee, you put an ACE or compression wrap, starting distal, squeezing it proximal towards the heart. Then you elevate it above your heart and allow gravity to drain the fluid off. After that, you take anti-inflammatory medication, because what the fluid on the knee is a result of the inflammatory process, where the body is trying to fix a problem. It doesn't know exactly what it is, so it throws every single thing it can at that problem. And next thing you know, you have a compartment issue because you only have so much room in there. You got all this fluid coming in there, and it starts causing pain. So, and swelling, obviously. And it affects your gait. But staying off of it, compressing it with an ACE wrap, squeezing it basically, and elevating above your heart so gravity can drain it, along with an anti-inflammatory medication, is the only treatment for that. And when that doesn't work, then an aspiration of the knee joint would be indicated.
Yeah, I just noticed that the sharp stabbing pain is no more, which I fear that I completely tore the meniscus because it's not attached. So now I have that bone on bone because I have hardly any cartilage left. And now I got fluid in my knee. And all of it's on the outside of the knee. And I can push it. You can feel it when I push on it. The fluid moves. But I can feel it on the nerve, you know, as it goes through the joint. And it's like, oh, my God. The only thing is I've got that special knee brace. And the problem is it makes my leg stiff. Like, it limits how much I can actually bend my knee sometimes. And then my knee gets stiff.
Uh-huh.
I'm, like, battling that when I'm in a catch-22, pretty much.
Yeah, well, if you don't have the right compression sleeve for the knee, then it can actually create more inflammation and cause more swelling, even distal, and it can also cause cyanosis as well because it's cutting off circulation.
Well, I might make it a little too tight then. I might have to loosen it up. Because I try not to wear a knee brace at home. Because it's just, you know, at work I'm walking the halls, you know. Oh, and by the way, I found out that I walk approximately a mile and a half a day at work. I have my pedometer, and it's about a mile and a half. Yeah.
You know the problem, you think you're exercising, right? But you're not, because your body's acclimated. That's normal. That's normal for you. You got to do something extraordinary beyond that normal.
I cut grass today. Okay, that was a little
there you go.
Over
yeah,
and above.
Cutting grass. Hey, when you sweep the floor, dance with the broom. Dance with your broom, man. Turn on some music and dance with it and burn some calories, you know? That's the other thing about, you know, internal derangement of the knee. There are other treatment options for it. You got bone on bone, right? But right now there is where we're actually injecting amniotic tissue and or placental tissue into the knee to stimulate the stem cells that will help regrow the cartilage. Also, we can inject platelet-rich plasma, where we draw your blood out, we spin it out, and we take the platelets out. Well, I mean, not the platelets. We take all the blood cells out, but the platelets and the plasma, and then we re-inject that back into the joint, and there are stem cells in your own plasma that helps to regenerate. The
yep.
other option
awesome.
Beyond that is the hyaluronic acid, which is like a viscous solution that comes from the rostral of a rooster. And that can cause lubrication as well as a hydraulic effect by increasing the joint space in the knee. So there are options. Problem is, most insurance won't cover that stuff.
Yeah, the
VA
will cover
it. Well, the VA covers some of that stuff, but not all of that.
Oh,
they will do the thin disc injections. They'll do the hyaluronic acid. They'll prove that. And you get three injections in the knee joint, and that hyaluronic acid, they also call synovial viscous solution, starts acting with the hydraulic fluid and lubricates the knee and gives you more joint space. Problem is, it doesn't repair the damage. So you will find relief, and it helps prevent surgery. But some of these stem cell procedures actually start to repair the damage. It's hard to repair cartilage.
I mean, but is there any way to repair a torn meniscus?
Yeah, surgery.
Aside from surgery, is what I'm saying. There is no other,
It just depends on how bad the tear is. Partial tears, the body goes in there and they reshape it. And, yes, it can be repaired on a partial tear. If it's like a full-thickness tear, posterior horns ripped off, all of that stuff. There's no repair other than surgical. And all the surgery does is they scope your knee and they go in there and just scrape off the loose hanging edges that are, you know, pretty much when you have a tear in the meniscus, there's little fibers that are like in the knee joint, and the body wants to fix it, but it can't. But it still tries. It throws all that inflammation and swelling in. And so, yeah, the answer is if it depends on how bad the tear in the meniscus is. The body can heal it, but if it's a really bad tear, only surgery is going to help it.
Yeah, that's what I fear about it the most, because 2 years ago they found out it was just a mild tear, a partial tear. And, yeah, I wore my knee brace for like a month, and I was good. Going back to, you know, doing whatever. It wasn't until I fell and my knee extruded. It's like, you know what? My body really hates me. That... The ligament or the tendon that's right there, you know, that holds the kneecap into place. I landed on a tree limb right there.
Ouch.
Yeah. And from that moment, it was within a day or two, I couldn't walk. So from January 4th until now, I went like 6 to 8 weeks of barely being able to walk. And when I mean barely, I mean I'm having to use – I had to get crutches for 3 weeks to use and put no weight bearing on my knee at all to where I could be able to. And I just, you know, my residents are really nice. You know, they're like, oh, go sit down. You know, and they mean well. And I'm like, guys, I've got to work. I can't not do, you know, what I got to do. And they ask me, oh, you're not limping today. Must not hurt much. They all know. And some days
well,
I'll work
them out. But it's nice that they actually pay attention, though.
It is.
Yeah, it is, because they could be like, oh, bitch is limping again. She's like
oh,
a no-load. Yeah.
And so here's the funny thing, and because we have a lot of dementia, schizophrenic dementia residents, and they never laugh. Never laugh. And they'll be walking. They hardly speak sometimes. And I'll tell them, I'll get right up next to them. I'm like, okay, I'll race you. Who's going to get there first? And they'll bust out laughing. And I said, don't laugh. You'll probably get there before I will. And, you know, and some of them, and honestly, with my knee, they've actually been paying attention to more of their own body and what's going on. Because you know how some people are in bad situations, they're like, we don't care, you know?
That's right. Hey, if you can't do it, we'll find someone else who can.
Do what?
I have an employer. My very first job interview with him, he said, if I fire you, I've got a chance of getting someone worse than you. I've got a chance of getting someone just as good as you, and I have a chance of getting someone better than you. That gives me a 66% chance of getting someone just as good or better than you, so I have no problem with firing you. And my response was, if I quit, I have the same percentage of chance of getting a job just as good or better than this one.
And you're right. I mean, but here's the thing about some of my residents. One of them, stage four COPD, newly diagnosed stage four, right? It kept going to COPD exacerbation, you know. And the last one, we put her in the hospital in March. She was in the hospital for 3 weeks. And they couldn't get her off the oxygen. Well, they finally got it to where, you know, to stabilize, but she has to have the oxygen. That heifer will go walk around without her oxygen tank, right? Because we couldn't get her to the portable concentrator. Because, you know the one where it puffs, it knows when you need a puff of air, and it's hard to get. There's, on the portable concentrators, there's one, it's not a constant flow of air.
It measures your pulse ox.
Yeah, whatever it is, it knows when you need air. Well, certain people with COPD can't use them. And anyway, her oxygen, her O2, God, was 47%. 47. I'm like, dude, you need your oxygen. Go put it on. So they put it on, and it got, like, into the high 80s. And then it finally got into the 90s. And I said, look, if it drops again, you're going to the damn hospital. Be checked.
She's an employee.
No, she's staff. I mean, a resident. She's a resident.
Oh, she's a resident. Oh, she lives there. Okay, resident. When you say resident, I'm thinking resident doctor also.
But she's a little pain in my ass. She don't care. And we're like, go put your oxygen on and go get some lunch. What does she do? Well, I want a cigarette. And she goes out and smokes instead of putting her oxygen on. And so she's sitting on a bench. I'm like, where's your oxygen? Oh, it's in my apartment. That's a good place for her. Now she's stuck downstairs.
She's probably like, well, I can't have the oxygen with me because I'm smoking and it could blow up.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that she knows. I didn't have my oxygen on. No shit, you didn't have it on because your oxygen is 47%. How are you functioning right now at 47%? So But yeah, and she's just like, we have those people who just don't care. And we had to send her out because it dropped into the 70s with her oxygen. And I said, do you see what you're doing?
Is Chaplain Mike on tonight?
Huh?
Chaplain Mike on?
Oh, I don't know who's on.
And Lorna?
No, she hasn't been on. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was going to tell you, but you're talking about that, her not really giving a shit about herself. There's a story I tell some of the patients. You know, whenever I give them a diagnosis and it's a new diagnosis, I tell them, now you need to become the expert of your affliction. You need to know more about this than I do. And I tell them a story. I say, there's this guy, believe that God answers prayers. And he does, right? But he believed that God answers prayers. Every day of his life, he prayed to win the lottery. Because he knew God was going to answer his prayer. Well, guess what? God never did answer his prayer. And he went to heaven, and he was talking with God. He says, God, I know you answered prayers. I believe it with my heart and my soul. And you never answered my prayer about winning the lottery. And he says, but you have to buy the ticket, son.
Yep.
You have to help yourself. And if you don't want to help yourself, then as a medical professional, we make the recommendations. Whether or not you follow them is going to be your choice.
Oh, yeah. It's like all of our alcoholics. All of our people that we have that use illicit drugs. And I'm not talking about marijuana. I couldn't give two shits about the marijuana. One, it helps with pain, appetite, stimulant. You know what? I don't care what the reason why you use it. Use it responsibly.
Yeah, marijuana.
But it's
marijuana's great. I should start using it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going to use it. So
yeah,
keep working to use it.
And the thing is that people know that they're hurting themselves, but they're dependent on that. That drug or alcohol or whatever you call it has control over their life.
Yeah.
It's more important than their own health.
We have some that do meth, coke. There's only a handful that does the coke. Actually, two. One's dead because he OD'd on it. And then one, he's a DNR. He's 47. He's a paraplegic.
Wow.
I mean, he's a mess. He's a train wreck. But he's high every single day on meth. Every damn day.
Wow.
And he also drinks. We have a lot of alcoholics. We get alcoholics who have cirrhosis. They're in end-stage liver failure. And you know what they say? And I'm like, I got to tell you, it's not, if they stop drinking today, it's not going to fix their liver. It's not. But you'll live a little longer, maybe. You know, but I got to tell them, it's my responsibility to tell them. But, and I'll tell them, I said, look, if you're going to drink, stay in your apartment when you drink. Don't go walking around because we have a lot of stupid residents, and I hate to say this, who have alcohol-induced seizures. And they fall. And they bust their head open. And they just do stupid shit. And they just, it's every single day for some of these people. And I don't know what their life history is. I don't know all of it. And yes, I know they probably hurt psychologically, mentally. You know what I'm saying? It's a crutch. But all I could do is be there for my residents and say, you know, X, Y, and Z, and you know what I'm saying? Are they going to listen? No. But you know what gets me in the end? at the end of the day, what gets me is they go to the PA, the nurse practitioner, and she comes on Mondays and Wednesdays. And they boo-hoo cry to her. Oh, I have this problem. And she makes appointments for these guys to go to specialists, lab work, procedures, all of this shit. To turn around and, one, not go, don't take the medication, or continue to drink new drugs or whatever it is they're doing. And she means well, but she's got to learn, and I'm learning, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, there's just, you can only do so much for people.
Well, all you can do is document.
Yep.
Document. Cover your ass.
Yep. Because if you didn't document it, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
But yeah,
if a patient has a drug problem or they have COPD, and I know they're non-compliant, I know they're not going to listen to me, I'm going to document it, and I'm going to refer them to the specialist just to cover my ass. Whether they go or not, I don't care. But I did my part.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And they're going to keep coming back week after week. And then she's going to chase them down. And we make the appointment, and we make arrangements for transportation, and these little shitheads don't go. And then it's like, you know, I just want to shake them. So the light comes on. But it's not coming on some of them. And, you know, here's my other thing. We have a lot of sex offenders. We got about 12 in our facility. And do I have pity on them? No. But, you know, the only reason why we have these sex offenders, in all honesty, the only reason why we have them in our facility is because they got the crap beat out of them in prison. And now they have severe DBIs. And they can barely function. They can't be in prison. So that's why we have them. They've all been released on parole and put in the system, and it's like, wow, really? We have parole officers in and out every day checking on these guys. And, but yeah. And so because of that, we have to deal with the TBIs, and they're, one guy got the shit beat out of him so bad, he now cannot hear. That's how bad he got beat in prison. So now, you know, it's like we have all these different things that we got to treat, and it's like, oh my, I just want to pull my hair out sometimes.
Well, I guess God works in mysterious ways.
Yep. He sure does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I had this conversation with a friend of mine. She's the activities director at work. And I told her, I said, there's a special place in hell for pedophiles and sex offenders and all that. And then she's like, yeah, true. But if they got right with God, I go, yeah, that's not what I want to hear right now. Because we just had one, and karma's a bitch. Man got 4 years for sex with a minor. 4. Because he was 80. Right? And they let him out of prison after 4 years because he has CHF, right? And they put him on hospice. You know, within 4 days of being in our facility, he had a massive stroke. He could hear everything you say, but he couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't react. Yeah. Karma's a real bitch. And I'm sorry. I know I'm a nurse and I shouldn't say that, but the human side of me, you know, believes he got what he deserved. But I will still take care of him, even though I can't stand what they did or their life choices, because they're stupid, you know.
Well, the whole point of prison is supposed to be rehabilitation, right? And
oh,
so, yeah, they fucked up. They did something wrong. Whether they realized it or not, you know, they're paying the consequences of it.
Okay.
And hopefully they learn something from it, but most people don't. Because the rehabilitation process is flawed.
Oh, it is. It is.
Actually make them worse. They actually... Network. A lot of guys will want to go to prison, so they like for when they do, they get busted with drugs. They go to prison and they actually make more contacts in the drug industry while they're in prison. So it, you know, it doesn't rehabilitate them like it's supposed.
Oh no,
to.
We got two guys. Well, one we kicked him out. He's in jail now because he punched a woman in the face. Because he said he could. And when the cops got there, he decided he wanted to punch the cop. And the cop's like, yeah, no. And they faced him. And he just stood there and took it. He got faced like four times. And he just stood. And he even said, I want to go back to prison. And he spent like 15 years in prison. And he couldn't handle being out. I got another one who spent 20 years in prison for murder and kidnapping of his girlfriend. He kidnapped her and then he murdered her. And he spent like 20 years in prison. He can't handle being on the outside. And so now he's doing shit to get put back in prison. So right. They, you know, on the outside, they're nobody, per se. But on the inside, they could be that, you know, person that has it all, you know, the connection, the drugs, and whatever contraband they happen to have.
Well,
but it's true.
It's the structure and the discipline. You know, you get up at 8 o'clock, you go exercise, you eat 3 meals a day. You take a shower, you go to bed, and then it becomes a routine, like military. A lot of people in the military, they, without that routine, they don't know what to do with themselves. That's why a lot of military people have a difficult time transitioning to social or civil life. Because there's always someone to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it in the military. In prison's the same way. They tell you what to do, when to do, and how to do it. Once you get out and you have to make those decisions on your own, it's not that easy, and people do not adjust to it. That's why they have halfway houses now.
That's pretty much what our facility is. It's a halfway house, brothel, drug den, frat house. That's what my facility is. I swear to God. It's horrible.
Yeah.
We got one guy who spent... pretty much 40, his last 40 years in prison. I don't know
what the hell does that guy know about life?
Huh?
Real life, you know? What the hell does that guy know about real life? You know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He spent like 40 years in prison, right?
And
he's a paranoid schizophrenic. He's a pretty big guy, but he got the shit beat out of him, too, because I believe it was rape, and I don't know how many women he raped, whatever. And so... He thinks the assisted living is still part of prison, like a work release, because he has to have structure. He, you know, he sweeps the office. or he'll sweep the hallway, or he'll go outside and sweep the yard, the sidewalk, because that's what he did in prison. And so that's what he does, because he was institutionalized, pretty much.
He doesn't know what to do with himself unless somebody tells him.
Yeah. And they do, you know how they have the, with the cigarettes. And cigarettes is currency in prison. Well, that's what they do. Some of these guys will sell, they'll buy the bags of tobacco and they roll cigarettes and they sell it. And some of them will trade beer for cigarettes or trade whatever for cigarettes. And that's what they do, because some of these guys have been in prison so long that it's all they know. You know.
Yeah, well, that, you know, and, you know, well, okay, prison is technically supposed to rehabilitate a person from whatever crime it was that they committed. And then if they've been in a long time, then they put them in a halfway house to teach them how to transition into civil life. But those halfway houses don't teach shit. All those halfway houses do are, the halfway houses are just collecting money from the government.
Oh yeah.
They're not teaching these people how to transition into civil life. That's how I see it, but I could be wrong. Because I have patients who come to me, my clinic, that are in a halfway house. But most of these people were, you know, drug offenders, selling drugs, not the sexual offenders and stuff like that. So, but do they teach them how to live without that structure of the prison? I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, anyway, Colonel, I gotta go. Nothing
I know,
to do.
Me too.
Yeah. Glad to hear you. Yeah. Well, hey, yesterday was Cinco de Mayo. We had a big old Mexican celebration down here in South Texas. They're actually still celebrating. I don't know if you can hear the background.
No doubt. Well, my celebration of Cinco de Mayo, I watched a kick-ass hockey game, and I lost my voice last night. That's what I did.
All right. You're doing your ingritos.
Oh, I drank my the Cayman Jack, the margarita. That's what I drank, and I continued on today. So that was my extent of celebrating. Yeah.
Nice.
I laugh at my son because he missed out. He went with his fiance to her parents' house for the weekend to go do something, some auction, and he was driving. They live 4 hours away, and so I kept texting him because the Canes scored 2 goals in 2:54 apart. And then they played two more, scored 2 more goals, 2:34 apart. And then
wow.
They go a little bit more, you know, third period, and they scored 2 goals within 54 seconds. Let me tell you, I screamed so loud, I probably scared the shit out of my neighbors. And my
damn
dog was running. And I told Pat, I said, sucks to be you. You missed a great game. Freaking. Well, yeah, they played the New Jersey Devils, and New Jersey's about to have their ass beat out of round two. So,
Who's your team?
The Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if people in Carolina knew how to ice skate. Sure,
oh,
but it's okay.
My God. Let me say something. When they were the Hartford Whalers in Hartford, Connecticut, they were lucky if they sold 16,000 tickets a game. That was a sellout crowd, okay? I'll have you know, in Carolina, where they play, in Raleigh? shit, I don't know where the hell they put it. I know they're in South Carolina. The stadium was so loud, it was 120 decibels. That's how loud it was.
Wow.
They have a hurricane siren. You know those sirens that they, you know, for when you have tornadoes and shit? Well, they actually have one, and they spin it. The crowd was so loud, you couldn't even
hear
the siren.
Wow, that's cool.
And Bobby Fucky, he lives near the hurricane, and he probably doesn't even know. Such a shame.
Well, you know, growing up in on the East Coast, I kind of liked watching the Flyers a lot, the Philadelphia Flyers. I came down to South Texas, and they didn't even have a hockey team, but now I think they have the Dallas Mavericks or something like that. I mean, I think there's some kind of hockey team.
They got that, and there's a couple. There's one in Vegas. I don't know. They just move teams around because they've started some new ones. But, yeah, man, I love watching Carolina, and it's friggin' – but, yeah –
I like watching hockey for the fights. That was it, basically.
Yeah, Gary Bettman put his foot down on that, and I think it's time for him to retire. He's been the commissioner for like 30 friggin' years. It's time for him to quit.
They don't fight that much anymore?
Oh, they do, but not like not like back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah.
So the guys aren't most of the guys have a full set of teeth these days, though.
Oh, hell no. A lot of these guys, no, they're missing teeth. They're missing teeth because of fights. But, yeah. I like watching it for the, when they check them against the board. You know, kind of like football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you, in football, it's just, you know, it's an amazing game. It's an amazing sport. And people should really, really get into it. Unlike baseball, which is boring as shit.
Right. Yep. So, I like football, and I like hockey, but we haven't watched hockey much. But I also like rugby. Now, there is a contact sport game.
I love rugby. It's a cross between football and soccer.
Yep.
And I watch Six Nations every year, and I think the Irish took the Irish one this year, like usual. The Irish win. So,
is Bobby trying to tell us something? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, love you guys. Bye, Bobby.
Love you too, bro.
All right, man. We'll talk to you guys later. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Fucking Mexican Revolution.
Yeah. All right. See you guys later.
Thanks for the show.
Yep. Give me a heads up when you guys are going through the next show. I'll keep looking at those messages then, Bobby.
All right. God bless America. God bless our children, our military, first responders, missing veterans, God bless defenders. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.